Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here with the founders of Recco. And now, what is Recco? It's TripAdvisor's new program, which features travel advisors, real live ones. And it's a new function that they have on the site, so you can go on to TripAdvisor and get connected to a Recco travel advisor and go on your trip. And we're going to find out about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, I didn't say your names. It's Sean Graber. So raise your hand so we know which one. And we have Eric Ornitz. You two guys are the creators of Recco, and not Rico, which I stupidly called it at the beginning. But Recco it is, as in recommendation. So let's first of all, let's start with you, Sean. How and why did TripAdvisor develop Recco, and what advantages did it see in having live travel advisors book hotels and maybe other products?
Yeah, it's a great question. Eric and I, about a year and a half ago, started a team called New Ventures, and this team was really dedicated towards finding new opportunities for TripAdvisor in the travel technology space. So we looked around the travel ecosystem. Eric and I both had really positive experiences with travel advisors in our own personal lives. And it was just an area that we saw had so much potential, and one in which TripAdvisor really didn't have much of a presence. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at what we had as our own advantages and capabilities, namely, we are the world's largest travel site. We have a lot of data about travelers. We know what travelers are looking for. And by and large, the travelers that come to TripAdvisor plan travel themselves. They look at hotel reviews and photos, and that's what we've really become known for over the years. And we thought that we could supplement that do-it-yourself travel planning tool with, you know, this group of really amazing experts that can help folks go beyond that and plan the considered trip, the complicated trip that you really want to get right, your honeymoon, your family vacation, these really once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. Sure. And travel advisors, we've grown to just love this at this industry because of the people. And we felt that there was a huge opportunity to provide those individuals with a platform and connect them to our audience of people with really high travel intent who want to make the most of their vacations.
No, that's great. I think I'm going to make you a spokesman for ASTA on the value of travel advisors. Eric, anything to add to that?
No, I think that's exactly it. I think, our excitement about, travel advisors and what they can provide from travelers only grew as we talked to more and more of them and talked through how we could actually help them grow their business and then also when we talked to travelers. And we went out and spoke to a ton of travelers, who we connect with all the time as TripAdvisor, and kind of told them about these amazing advisors who they could work with for some of their big trips. And the response was overwhelmingly positive. It wasn't every traveler, and it wasn't for every trip. So, folks who are going away for a weekend, or maybe they're going somewhere they've been many times before, in those instances, of course, folks said, I don't think I need to work with a travel advisor. Mm-hmm. But as Sean mentioned, for those honeymoons and considered trips, we had a lot of people say, I would love somebody who knows the destination, who can be there for me, has, that inside knowledge and can help me plan an incredible trip. So it's only grown in excitement, I think, amongst us, our team, TripAdvisor, since we first went down this road of investigating it and launching it earlier this year.
That's great. Now, my next question was, I've already answered, is what where the name Recco come? And I didn't I didn't realize it was recommendations, Recco. Is it owned by TripAdvisor outright, or are there other partners, Sean?
That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly how to answer that from a legal standpoint. I will say that, the name is near and dear to our hearts because it is a truncated form of the word recommendation. And what this is about at its core is really people helping other people and giving those really great recommendations that will lead to an outstanding trip and memories and all the great things. I mean, this year has shown us, I think more than any other, how much travel can impact our lives by feeling what it is like to live in the absence of travel. And so at the heart of Recco, at the heart of Travel Advisory, really are these recommendations. And so we wanted the name and the ethos of the product to really reflect that. And so that's why we went with the name Recco.
Yeah, Recco. But it is a program, Eric, that you guys devised at TripAdvisor, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, yep. And with the name, there's no other partners other than TripAdvisor and sort of our new ventures, TripAdvisor New Ventures group.
Got it.
So yeah, you know, we obviously have folks that we talk to all the time and work with, but Recco is, you know, and our venture is wholly owned by TripAdvisor.
Okay. Now, how will this work? Well, first of all, I had a question. I mean, are you going to be part of the industry? Are you going to try to affiliate with other travel agency groups? There's a lot of other consortiums, networks, and even Asta, for example. I mean, Expedia is an Asta member.
We absolutely want to become, you know, a really big part of the industry. As I said, you know, we really do love the industry. And already, you know, we found really great partners, you know, some that we work with on a more formal basis, others that we work with more informally and just keep in touch. But that includes the consortia. It includes travel agencies, other members of the travel ecosystem. And so, you know, as we kind of gain our footing in this industry, we're trying to determine the best way that we can engage with these folks. But, you know, we feel like we have really built some really solid relationships with these individuals that have helped us get to the point where we are today. And I think ultimately what it comes down to is that we're all in this to evangelize for travel advisory, to help travel advisors find more clients, to talk about the advantages of what these folks can do. And in this environment in particular, you know, I don't mean to minimize the devastation that's been wrought on the industry at large, but as we come out of this, this horrible period for travel, the travel advisors are going to be able to provide even more value than they did before. You know, we saw at the beginning of the pandemic, our advisors move mountains for their clients in terms of helping them get refunds, figure out cancellations, rebook their trips. And now when you're looking at the world and saying, not only where do I want to go to have a great vacation, but where can I go? How do I minimize the impact of COVID? You know, how do I account and think about the risk of my trip getting canceled? You want someone in your corner who is a professional and who does this day in and day out. And so we're extraordinarily excited to be a part of that. And we want to work with all the industry partners that we can to be able to tell that message.
Okay, great. Erica, now how will this work, Erica? Will do people go on TripAdvisor, which usually they go on to look for, you know, hotel and travel reviews and things like that? Will they be prompted to book through a Recco agent or Recco advisor, I should say?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so, you know, the platform we have at TripAdvisor is so massive in the travel space, and we have, you know, close to 500 million users during normal times, and travelers come to look for advice about where to go, where to stay, where to eat. And amongst that pool of all of those travelers, you know, you think about the staggering scale of TripAdvisor in the industry. Sure. What we're focused on is figuring out how do we, you know, prompt the right user at the right time for the right trip about working with a travel advisor. And so, you know, sort of earlier when I was mentioning, if you're going, you know, on a trip, you need a hotel near an airport for a connection, that's probably not a great connection, you know, with a travel advisor in that moment. But what we're focused on is finding out how we can send that, you know, tell the traveler about Recco and about these incredible advisors when we understand and detect, you know, on the site that they're looking for a longer trip. Maybe they're going to the Caribbean for 10 days, or they're looking at Italy and it looks like it might be a honeymoon. And so in those instances, we're really focused on providing that traveler with the knowledge about travel advisors and about Recco. And right. So from there, after we kind of prompt them and say, hey, you can work with an incredible advisor on Recco to, you know, plan and book and assist with your trip, we'll bring them kind of to Recco. And at that moment, that's where we really ask the traveler a little bit more about his or her trip. And we ask them, you know, not only where are they going, but why are they going? What are they interested in? How long might they be going for? And what their budget, you know, might be for that trip. And of course, those details come together as they work with their advisor. But that initial inkling they have about that trip they're taking helps us then match them with the right advisor who has expertise in that type of trip or that destination and likes to work at that kind of budget range. So for us, you know, it's all about starting with that big audience that we have, leveraging our data and insights to get in front of the right travelers for the right trips, and then, you know, bringing those people to match them with the right travel advisor. And I think if we do that, and of course, that's something that we're working at kind of every day, how to do that better and better. You know, the outcome we're striving for is really happy travelers who find an advisor they otherwise may not have, and also really happy advisors who get travelers to contact them who are really serious and want to take the types of trips that they can plan. I think, you know, we really care about kind of both sides of that marketplace, and we really care about the travelers and trip designers making that really great match.
No, that's absolutely, that sounds great. And I want to go on TripAdvisor and figure out how that connection works, at least initially, how you're doing it. I haven't done that yet. I should. Sean, tell us a little, how many travel advisors do you currently have in the program, and where do they come from? And of course the question is, how many do you want to have eventually?
Yeah, so we have right now, I would say around 300, 325 advisors on the platform. And I think the exciting and interesting thing is that they come from a really wide variety of backgrounds. We have folks who have been in the industry for 40 years. And then we have others who have come from legal careers. They've come from pharmaceutical sales careers. They've just, you know, they get to bring this experience that they've built elsewhere. And they come to travel with a little bit of a different perspective, which I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And so as Eric said, you know, the charge that we really have is helping the traveler find that right advisor for him or for her. And of course, the advisor really is in the driver's seat. So he or she can determine who he or she wants to work with. So, you know, they can, choose their clients, so to speak.
Yeah.
But and then in terms of, you know, where we want to go with the community, I think the sky's the limit. You know, like we've said a couple times, we really want to work not only to grow Recco and Recco's presence within the TripAdvisor ecosystem, but part of the thesis and part of why we're so excited about this opportunity is that we think we can bring it to a much larger audience that doesn't necessarily consider travel advisors today. Mm-hmm. And we see this and we hear this echoed when we talk to our travel advisor partners, you know, particularly among younger folks, maybe in the older millennial kind of Gen X demographics. They have memories of maybe working with a travel advisor with their parents or sort of a notion of what travel advisory is. And in many cases, it's not exactly matching with reality. No. And so I think we have the opportunity along with other industry partners to tell the story more. And so ideally we can grow the pie for everyone and, you know, build this community to be much, much larger than it is now. Of course we're starting small. And so we have, a group of people that are just remarkable, and we're so proud that they've all decided to take this journey with us. But we think that we can really grow this, and that's our goal ultimately, to not only to grow Recco but to grow the industry overall.
Well, actually, 300 is a pretty good number to start with, to be honest with you.
It's great.
Yeah, Eric,
we cover James roughly like the whole world. I mean, virtually anywhere you want to go in the world, we have someone who's an expert in that place, who's been there, who can tell you, you know, all about his or her experiences in that place. And it's really a remarkable community of people, different kinds of interests, from safari to golf to, right, to family. We have folks who specialize in planning travel for families who have perhaps children with the autism spectrum disorder or other, you know, special considerations that need to be taken into account. And our goal is to be able to expand the community so that people who need someone who's in some niche or another can find that person on Recco. We're not necessarily there today, but that's part of the hope as we grow the community, that if you have a very specific kind of trip that you want to take, you come to Recco and we can find that person that's going to make that trip for you really, really special.
Now, Eric, obviously these travel advisors are not employed by Recco, but are they effectively independent contractors? What's the status of the relationship that Recco has with these advisors? And also, how did you go out? Sean just mentioned that you went out and looked for people who specialized in certain things. I mean, how did you verify that they were the right fit and also had the right experience to be in that particular specialty?
I might turn this one back over to Sean. Okay. He led the team that did that work. And so
we'll get you on the next one. Okay, Sean, you heard that question. So what's the status of these travel advisors? Are they independent contractors, essentially affiliated with Recco? And also, how did you drill down to find out if they were the right people for those specialties?
Yeah, so really simply, these folks are independent contractors. You know, we're basically a lead generation or a marketing platform that they use. So that's the nature of the relationship there. And then, you know, on the recruiting front, it was really an interesting process. I mean, we learned quite a bit about the industry, the different types of players that there are, for lack of a better word. And we went out and we recruited folks. You know, we looked for affiliations with really reputable organizations like consortia, like really leading travel agencies, other awards and accolades that they might have accumulated through reputable publications and other things like that. We had a lot of conversations. We learned a lot. But we also have individuals that are outside of the United States. So, you know, in some cases, we took a more manual vetting process where we would interview them, talk to them, ask for prior work product. And over that period, which I would say was a little bit more of a recruiting period, where we went out, we proactively identified individuals that we thought would be a good fit, vetted them, and then brought them on. Now we're moving into a phase where we've developed a little bit more of a fulsome application and vetting process. And we've actually done so in conjunction with some of our partners sort of on the consortia side, mirroring some of the ways in which they vet their own advisors for membership in some of their sort of select communities within their own programs. And so, and we've worked as well with our own travel advisors to say, hey, look, here's how we're thinking about vetting people. Would you give us some feedback? What should we ask? What should we have them do? And so, you know, taking our own learning, what partners, really well-established partners are doing, and then getting the feedback of our own advisors who have a really inherent interest in making sure the bar is really high to get on RECO, we feel like we've got a pretty good process in place to ensure the quality remains high over time. But as Eric said, just as we're going to find better and better ways to bring TripAdvisor travelers over into this travel advisory ecosystem, we're going to be continually revisiting that process and making sure that we're asking the right questions, we're doing the right things to ensure that the quality is high. Because we do want travelers to come to RECO and know, hey, no matter the person that I choose, they might have a different personality, different level of experience, different interests. They're going to be really high quality. And I know at a minimum, I'm getting someone who is really going to help me plan that trip. It's just a matter of who's going to be the best fit for me this time around.
No, absolutely. It sounds like you've got a kind of cross section of, you know, you have your own Condé Nast Traveler Specialist List or TNL A List, if you've seen that one, which actually is I have a little challenge with, because there's also what they call receptive operators or destination management companies on there too, who are specialists within their own companies, and they're effectively travel advisors, but they are only focused on their area, and they often take bookings from other travel advisors. So that's the difference with that. But you also have, I'm sure you have people, I've heard you had people from different consortia, from Virtuoso, from other signature, things like that, that are signing up for this program. So I just, is that the way it's working?
Yeah, we have folks from Virtuoso, Signature Travel Leaders Group. We do have some individuals that are part of what you might deem to be DMCs, who are based outside of the United States. Right. We have folks who are on the Condé Nast list, on the Travel and Leisure list, the Wendy Perrins WOW list, and then folks who aren't on any of those lists, right? But are really, you know, in their own way, very high quality and just aren't a part of those organizations. So I wouldn't say that there's, you know, any one criteria that one needs to satisfy to be a part of RECO. And I think that diversity is really exciting. And that's what I think is so cool about what we've been able to do so far with regard to the community, is to assemble this really interesting collection of people.
Absolutely. Now, Eric, how are these advisors compensated? I know there is a fee, right, for using this service, they're getting a portion of that. And then I don't know how, you know, when they do book the trip, what portion of the commission they get on that. Maybe you can clarify that.
Sure. Yeah. So to start with the fee, you know, we thought a lot about how we wanted to set up RECO as a program and how we wanted travelers and trip designers to connect and start planning together. And like I was mentioning earlier, where we're so focused on happy travelers and happy advisors, we think the fee actually plays a good role in that matchmaking. And so not only does the fee provide a little bit of upfront income, a portion of which does go to the advisor, but it also really qualifies the traveler as someone who's really serious. And so, you know, I think that that's a big component of that part of the transaction. Is, of course, travelers can initially reach out and talk to an advisor to, you know, kind of get to know them as an advisor, their expertise, their specialties. Sometimes they might ask for an initial suggestion to get a sense of how they plan their trip. But then we encourage our advisors to say, hey, if you'd like to hire me, there's a planning fee to really kick that process off before I start sharing sort of a fulsome itinerary, getting, you know, and really getting into the details with you. And that's been pretty successful so far. We really want to make sure we protect our advisors from being inundated with you know, thousands of low quality leads. It's really important to us that when they start planning.
Well, welcome to the nightmare that travel advisors have had for years and years.
Totally. And we heard that and I think we heard it loud and clear. I hope, you know, one of the things you get the sense of through this interview is how much we work with our sort of trip designer or travel advisor community, as we're planning. You know, we're really not trying to come up with things in a box and then impose it upon the traveler or trip designer, but we work them pretty closely. And we heard that time and time again. Hey, you know, I just get these inbounds and they just want my advice and they won't book with me. They disappear. And that's a waste of my time. And so, you know, that fee became an important element to that. And then the other thing on the fee is, you know, when we talk to travelers, I think a lot of them really are, you know, when they understand the service provided and they get to find and kind of choose their travel advisor, they think the fee is a great deal. I mean, it's you know, a small portion of the spend that they're going to have on their trip, and it unlocks for them all sorts of bespoke recommendations and perks and deals and service. And so we think, you know, of course, you know, we might try out sort of discounts and different fees and you know, as we kind of learn the market. But we feel really good about, you know, kind of how we've entered here. It's a $200 fee today, or $199, right. I should say, to get started with that planning process.
And what's the portion that the travel advisor gets of that $200?
I don't know if we're like fully revealing all the mechanics, and for the most part, just because, you know, again, it's something that we're learning and working with our partners on. The second part of your question was about the commission. And that's where we don't actually partake in any of the commission today. So
really, so basically, if they pay their $200, they get referred to the travel advisor, and then that commission the travel advisor retains all that commission. That's a pretty good deal.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, we really, really, really want this to be a very travel advisor friendly platform, and also a place again that travelers come. And get the quality, you know, they rely on us for this kind of curated community of advisors that Sean was talking about. And so I think that's how we see our role. It's really about, it's really a win-win there. And we, you know, of course, take a portion of that planning fee as sort of our way of getting compensated for making that match. But we know, you know, commissions are sort of the lifeblood of the advisor. And so they retain, you know, they retain that as they're building their business.
No, that's great. That's actually a good program. I was going to call you almost a host agency, but right now you're really only referring these things to, you know, you start doing training, education, and technology assistance to the same travel advisors, then you might be considered a host agency, which is the model that really has developed in the last 20 years, where, you know, the vast majority of travel advisors are hosted by a host agency, and they have their own little businesses. And in fact, that means that they also can affiliate with, you know, organizations like you, right, Sean? Am I right about that model?
Yeah, and we work with a lot of really great host agencies. We're of course not a host agency and don't have plans to become one, but we are always looking for ways that you know, we can add value to the travel advisors that we work with. So, you know, we'll bring in some speakers here and there. We do share some data that we have about our TripAdvisor travelers and traveler trends that, you know, our advisors always seem really hungry to understand and to incorporate into the way that they're planning for their business. I think we're always really open to suggestions. We have a lot of resources and capabilities and the ability to do a lot of interesting things because we are a large travel company. And so part of Eric and I's job is to say, hey, given all of that, you know, what can we do? How can we bring that to bear on the RECO program and really use that to add value to the travel advisors? And we're always, you know, consistently trying to think about how can we leverage some of these relationships or advertising campaigns, marketing campaigns to benefit the RECO folks just as well as they benefit the rest of the TripAdvisor ecosystem.
Well, I mean, like it or not, you're creating a little community of RECO travel advisors, and you know, they're going to be all together at some point, and you're going to be communicating with them directly. So effectively, as that community grows, I guess you're going to have to figure out ways to service them better and also serve your incoming clients better. So I think we'll see what happens, but it's as you said, it's pretty brand new. So There's a lot to grow on. Now, Eric, tell me a little bit about how these leads, you know, when you go into TripAdvisor, how they are distributed to different Reco advisors. Who decides who gets the leads? And I maybe right now at 200, you've got, you know, certain people are really the only person in that specialty, but I'm sure after a while you might have more than one person who does safaris, let's say.
Right. Yeah. And we have a bunch of really great safari travel advisors so far. It's actually an awesome, awesome community. So go and check it out if you're interested in a safari. That's my plug for our safari folks. So the way that it works today is we see ourselves more as a platform to make matches, but provide choice to the traveler. And so as a traveler comes in and tells us about their trip and their travel style, we actually surface several different advisors that they could work with. And that's a moment that's really important to us to make those matches. And I say matches as sort of plural because that choice is an element that we've heard from travelers can be really important to them. Of course, you know, we might experiment with different ways of connecting the traveler with the travel advisor. But at its core, the leads and you know, where they go are ultimately decided by the traveler. And right. So as we present them with a few options, let's say 3 to 4 different safari specialists who work in the budget that they're targeted, that they've told us they're targeting, that traveler can then kind of take a look at those profiles where we bring these travel advisors to life and choose the person that they'd like to reach out to. In some cases, we do see travelers reach out to 2 different advisors and say, hey, tell me about your trip and tell me about how you might plan the trip. But for the most part, you know, it's really about making sure that they connect with the right, you know, the right travel advisor and that they get to choose the person they're going to work with. And then from there, it's almost like we call it almost a double opt-in. So the traveler might make that first outreach, but the travel advisor has to decide, I want to work with this client to move forward. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, you know, a really important dynamic for us. We don't want travelers, you know, deciding that they want to go, you know, on a safari for $1,000 and, hey, I hired you and now you're on the hook for it. That, you know, that doesn't work. And so instead we have the traveler reach out, we provide all the details we know about that trip to the advisor and he or she can choose to continue that conversation or in some cases, and we see this happen, kind of politely decline and say, hey, you know, I my expertise is really in a higher budget range or lower budget range, or hey, you know, while I love the Caribbean, I really don't know St. Martin that well. So that's the kind of double opt-in there where the traveler expresses intent and the trip designer or travel advisor gets to say they'd like to work with that person before they get hired.
No, absolutely. There are different budgets for different clients. And a lot of the people, it sounds like you do have some higher end people who, you know, are going to be wanting to serve higher end clients. So that's clear what happens. Now, Sean, you know, a few years ago, TripAdvisor sort of made a move into becoming almost an OTA. I know where you could actually book a hotel through TripAdvisor. I kind of lost track of that debate. Is it still doing that?
That's a good question. And frankly, that was a little bit before my time at TripAdvisor. I know that product has continued to exist. I think over the past few years, we probably placed a little bit less emphasis on that.
I know there was a big debate about it back then because you were kind of, when TripAdvisor first came out, you could find the review in the hotel and then you would somehow get referred either to the hotel itself or to an OTA, another OTA. And of course, and then TripAdvisor said, well, you know, like everybody else, we want a part of that. And they went into it, but I get the sense that that program hasn't really taken off over the past few years. I don't hear much about it. I'm sure I can still do it, but whether that's an emphasis in the company now. And now here you're emphasizing real travel advisors, which I think is great. But so here you're getting into this part, and hopefully this will be more successful.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to the fact that, hey, technology companies and TripAdvisor in particular, you know, we're always trying new things. We're always experimenting in the interest of trying to create the best experience for our travelers. Mm-hmm. On Reco, we're not only focused on the traveler, but also the advisor. And, you know, Eric and I are both, you know, we created this team called New Ventures, you know, when you try new things, sometimes they're successful and sometimes they're not. But, you know, I think what we try to do as TripAdvisor is always, you know, push the boundaries a little bit and see, hey, what can we put out there that's going to make the experience better? And of course, sometimes you're going to have really big successes. Sometimes things won't be quite as successful. What you're referring to, that I kind of joined the company, and I think Eric, right at the tail end of when that was a big push. And so I don't think he nor I are necessarily the best people to comment on it. But
no, I just know if it still exists. That's really what it was, because I remember that debate, and we did engage in that debate because obviously our viewers, our readers are travel advisors.
Sure.
I don't know, maybe we should turn the thing. It will change the whole name of Travel Advisors to Trip Advisor. Then you got no problems, right?
It is a tongue twister. We're talking about Travel Advisors, Trip Designers, and Trip Advisor. And I'm surprised that I don't think we've messed that one up yet in the interview, but I'm sure in the next couple questions here.
You're talking to a guy who was editor-in-chief at Travel Agent magazine for about 13 years and then created publications called Agent at Home and Vacation Agent. And now I have to go back to the well and call everybody Travel Advisors, which I think is the correct way to go, by the way.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the terminology and the debate over the name of what a travel advisor should be is long and just as much as the debate over fees. I mean, we are still having that debate over fees even today. If you go to any consortia during, I just had Signature Travel Network, the head of Signature was like saying, you should charge fees. And I'm saying, I wrote that story 20 years ago. It's like, you know, but some people feel they can't charge fees, but the good ones do. So we'll see what happens. Let's talk, Eric, how do you expect to grow the Reco business over, you know, what's your goal in your first year, the next 5 years? I mean, what are you looking at?
Yeah. So I think the near-term goal is really all about learning. And when I say that, it's, you know, we are dipping our toes into a whole new industry with its own dynamics and with its own opportunities and challenges. And so right now, as we come to market, we're learning both from our travelers and our travel advisors what role we can play best, what technology we can build to make them both most successful, what ways we market Reco to our travelers to get them excited about working with Travel Advisor, and then how we kind of make those matches. So, you know, it's sort of any new business in the first year. Of course, we sort of have, of course, business goals. And as travel comes back, we really, really do want to see a high volume of trips planned through Reco, you know, both for our own success and the success of our advisors. But I'd say an equivalent goal to that is learning so that we do this right. Because as Sean mentioned earlier, with sort of the sky's the limit, we think there's a massive opportunity here to expand the audience of travelers who work with travel advisors. I mean, you know, we talk about the hundreds of millions of folks on TripAdvisor every month. We think a good portion of those people would be interested in working with a travel advisor if we can, you know, get in front of them and tell them about Reco at the right time. And so in the first year, I hope we come out of this having planned, you know, hundreds and thousands of trips for our travelers. And we've also learned everything that we need to do to set ourselves up for a lot of success in 2022 and beyond, to really grow this market, of travel advisory, and become a mainstay for, TripAdvisor travelers who are going on one of those considered trips, you know, those really, special and complicated trips that an advisor, really, really, you know, can help with. And hopefully for, you know, TripAdvisor as a company, we have this suite of capabilities. And so no matter whether you're going on a shorter trip or if you're just a total DIY person and you just want to do it yourself, you can go to TripAdvisor and do that. Or you're someone looking for advice, or you have a really complicated trip, we can help you with that too. And over time, I think, you know, for the company, it's important that we are that travel guidance company for any important trip that you're looking to take. We want to be there with all of our tools, and coming out of 2021, I hope we're really set up with the learning and the initial success to grow this market with our travelers into the years to come.
No, that's great. And good luck with that. Now, Sean, anything else you want to add to our viewers? We have about 75,000 travel advisors who are part of our subscription list, and a certain portion of them looks at these videos sometimes, I hear. It's just a rumor, but we'll see. Is anything else you want to add about Reco?
I would just say that we're thrilled to be a part of this industry. I think there's an enormous opportunity. You know, COVID has been so devastating for travel, not only for travel, but especially for travel, and especially for travel advisors. And, you know, like I said before, I think Eric and I believed in this industry and in this opportunity long before COVID ever came along. And ironically enough, I think COVID has only sustained and increased our belief in what we think advisors can do. Mm-hmm. So we really want to be a partner to help get this travel sort of industry back on track, to talk about the advantages of travel advisory in this new environment where health considerations have become so top of mind. And we think that Recco could be a really big part of that. And so we're just excited to be a part of the industry, really excited to bring this new tool to bear. And we'll be continually looking for ways to, you know, just improve the ways in which travel advisors can serve their clients, can grow their businesses. And so we think that, you know, knock on wood, 2021 is going to be a banner year for travel. We won't get back to 100% of normalcy, but we'll get on that track. And we're just excited to be a part of that recovery story.
No, that's great. Now, Eric, where can travel advisors go to find out more about Recco? And also, if they're interested in maybe they think they got the right stuff and they fit a specialty and they can apply to be part of your group of travel advisors.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone can head to helloreco.com to check out the offering. And at the bottom, you'll find a link that says, I think it says join as a trip designer or apply. And in there, I think we have a few questions that we'd ask that, interested advisors fill out. And that comes right to our team. And so, we kind of have that initial community so far, but like Sean said, we're always interested in folks who might want to be a part of that. So definitely check us out. If you have suggestions, I think there's a suggestions box as well. We're always all ears. We're excited to be
in. And you guys personally read all the suggestions right in there, right?
We do, yeah.
Believe it or not, we do.
No, but with us is a small but mighty team of really passionate folks. We've got, folks on the community and travel advisor side and designers and engineers. And I think most of us actually read most of the suggestions and comments that come in, because the whole team really cares about Recco and about bringing this product to market and having a lot of success here. So definitely go and check us out on the website, and we'd love to hear from folks.
Well, Sean, Eric, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak to us about Recco. It kind of caught us all by surprise when you announced it in the past week or so. And it sounds like a great program that I guess travel advisors, even if they're part of other groups, can look to join and possibly get some nice leads for more complicated travel. And it sounds like you really got a good thing going. And I love the messages that you are giving out about the importance of a travel advisor, especially now. Here in this COVID era, where once again, someone said to me, it takes a crisis to once again prove the validity and the value of good travel advisors, whether it was 9/11, the recession, or now this devastating crisis, which, as you correctly point out, has been really horrible for the travel industry and travel advisors in particular. But again, thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you so much, James. Really appreciate it.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.